This week is Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha me'artzcha mimoladzcha besadicha la'aretz asher areka. The Farshim said that this week begins the first parsha of the Tikkun Ha'olam, L'saken Olam b'malchus Shakai with a Kuf. Remember we had that discussion, is the L'saken with a Kuf or a Kuf? But either way you say a Kuf or a Kuf, but that's what this parsha begins, the Tikkun, because the first two parshas of the Torah are not very pleasant. The first parasha is the Chet Eitz Hadas, the great tragedy of the Eitz Hadas, which brought death to the world, brought a series of klolois to the world. Parashas Noach brought a churban to the world, and the new world that was reestablished is not the same. It's not this with the same pristine qualities as the old world. But Parashas Lech Lecha begins Avram Avinu Miheir Minizrach. The Eson HaEzrachi is the koyach of Avraham Avinu, the one that gave us the ultimate gift, Emuna, the ultimate gift of as it says the end of Masechta Makos, and the Masechta is Tzadik BeEmunaso Yichya. The Ikar Avoida we have Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara says Bizman Hazeh is to focus on Emuna. And the Rosh HaMa'aminim is Avraham Avinu. So it's a very special parasha when we introduced into the theme of Avram, and the legacy of Avram is Emuna. You can't walk, take one breath without Emuna. Without Emuna, the world is just a very dark place. You have to inject Emuna in order to be able to take a step forward. And that's what this parish is all about. That introduced that theme. I want to bring out a little point, which is ha'ara. Everything you know I tell you is only half-baked verloch, something which just points to think about, and to disagree with, and to question, and to challenge. But I have over here an observation. The parish begins with going to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem does not tell him exactly where to go. Hashem just says to him, go, El Eretz Asher Areka, the land that I will show you. Now this is considered by many of the commentators as the first Nisoyon. We know that Avram was tested 10 times. And there's many different opinions as to exactly what are the 10 Nisoyonos. But according to many, this is the first. To leave your father, to leave your homeland. How could a person do this? In ancient times, it wasn't like today where everyone runs around. You go to a resume of a boy in Shaduchim, he learned in 20 yeshivas. It wasn't like that in the olden days. In the olden days, you were loyal to your source, to your where you come from. Here, Hashem is telling Avram, it's time to leave. It was a very great Nisayon, and he was Amin B'nis Nisayon, and he wasn't even told where to go. What is the 10th Nisayon? According to many, if not most of the commentators, it is the Akedah. And the Akedah is also an elaboration. Kachnas Bincha, Es Yechidcha, Asher Hafta, finally Es Yitzchak. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very specific. After all the expressions, Hashem says at the very end, Yitzchak. So contrast the first Nisayon to the last Nisayon. The first Nisayon is Artzcha, leave Artzcha, Ummi Meladtcha, Ummi Beisavicha. Where? Vague. El Oretz Ashareka, I'm not telling you where to go. The last Nisayon was Kachnas Bincha, Es Yechidcha, Asher Hafta, 3, and then Hashem does not conclude with El Oretz Ashareka, it's Yitzchak. Right away Hashem says Yitzchak. You know, it could have very well been that, then maybe if he died, the child that I'll tell you, because Avram and Vinu did say, I love them both. Kachnas Bincha, I have two children. Es Yechidcha, by me, each one is a Yochid. Asher Hafta, I love each one differently. So it could very well be. So take them all, take both of your children, go to Har HaMoriah, and when you'll get there, I'll tell you which one it's going to be. Just like Hashem did when he came to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, go west. Just go. Go. And where are you going? When you get there, I'll tell you if it's Saudi Arabia, if it's Egypt, if it's Lebanon, Jordan, I'll tell you when you get there, I'll tell you exactly where to go. Just get moving. Get moving, get out of Aram Naharam, get out of Iraq. Just get moving, go east. Go west, that's right, go west, just go. So look at the Haloi Davar, is it not a significant thing, a contrast between these two, the first Nisayon and the last Nisayon? So Rashi alludes to this. Rashi, you have to see exactly what Rashi is trying to say.
It also doesn't give him a specific destination. destination by the Akedah.
Al Har HaMoriah. Okay, the destination was not specific. That is correct. But the person, the individual, was specific.
Right.
And that was the Nisayon. The Nisayon was to sacrifice one of his children. Now let me see. Let me Rashi. Rashi explains this point. Rashi says, Lech Lecha. Let me just find over here. El Ar Asher Eka. Loi Gila. Here it is. Asher Ar Eka. Okay, it's down in the Rashi. Plus, it's a very, very long Rashi towards the end of the Rashi. Lo gila lo haaretz miyad. Hashem did not reveal the land. Kidei lechaviva be'enav. It should be precious. Now, this is psychology. By not telling a person, hiding what the object, it creates, you're intrigued. What is it? It evokes chavivos. And then he says, "V'litin le'sochar al kol dibur." Number two, another reason why Hashem did not say reveal the place was to give him reward, al kol dibur v'dibur, all the different steps. All right, after whatever that means, that's not my focus. Then Rashi goes on to say, "Kayoytse bo." He then cites the last nisayon, the tenth nisayon, es bincha, es yichidcha, asher ahavta, es yitzchak. There also, there was an elaboration. Rashi structurally, so Rashi similarly means to give him reward for each dibur, to give him reward for each of these words. So Hashem elaborated with the verse. Or I'm suggesting is when Rashi says kayotze bo, this is a chiddush. This is not pshat, but I think this is a drush. When Rashi says kayotze bo, it's going back on the chavivos. In other words, Rashi here is saying is the reason why Hashem said to Avraham many descriptions, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoylatecha be'savicha el ha'aretz asher areka. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was verbose was the more Hashem spoke about leaving your land and going somewhere else, that description creates chavivus. Not only the intrigue, the mystique of where you're going. That's the pashm. The pashm shot is the chavivus is established by going to an unnamed location. Somehow, it seems that Rashi seems to imply that would create chavivus. I want to suggest that Rashi means no. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself in multiple words, many expressions, that enhances the chavivus of the ultimate destination, wherever it will be. Likewise, Hashem wanted to make the Akedah chaviv, so Hashem expressed himself in multiple words. Kachnas bincha, es yichidcha, asher hafta, es yitzchak. The four expressions, each one adds a degree of chavivus in the mission, because when you're doing the mission, I'm being mekayim Hashem's will as bincha, I'm being mekayim as yichidcha, I'm mekayim asher hafta, and I'm being mekayim as yitzchak. I'm doing four mitzvahs in one shot. By doing four mitzvahs in one shot, I'm getting four times the credit. It's a chavivus. When Hashem says that I should go to Eretz Yisrael, going to Eretz Yisrael means I'm leaving Artzcha, I'm leaving Mimoyladcha, I'm leaving Mibesavicha, and I'm also going to Eretz Ashareka. I'm being Mekayim four mitzvahs. Being Mekayim more of Hashem's will enhances the chazivus of the mitzvah.
It's also from different places. He was in Kazdim, he was in Charan, and he's.
Okay, that's the definition, but right now, where it is now? There are multiple expressions. But now I want to add one more piece which ties into the parasha, and that is a Mishnah in Perek Gimel in Pirkei Avos that says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Man is precious. He's beloved in the fact that he has been created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Mishnah says Chaviva Yisera. It's a greater degree of Chavivus Shenoidas Lohem Shenivra B'Tzelem. It's one thing, man is chaviv, we'll know from an esoteric medrash. Let's say you would have a medrash that man is the Tzelem Elokim. Just like man has eyes, a nose, a mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Kaviyachol, in Ruchnius, Hashem sees, Hashem Vayorach, Hashem Reach Nichoyach, Hashem is a Dibor. Let's say it would be a medrash. Wow, what a beautiful medrash. It would be basic to us. But Hashem didn't just leave it to the medrashim. It's an explicit pasuk. The pasuk in Parashas Noach says, "Ki bitzelem Elokim bara es ha'adam." It couldn't be explicit. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that pasuk that was not necessary. We could have done away with it. We could have known through tradition the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed it is a chaviva yisera, is an additional degree of love. Now, what do we take out of this in this Mishnah Pirkei Avos? the more specificity you give to something, the greater chavivus. Here we have two nisyonos, two different ideas. Eretz Yisrael and children. Two different concepts. Jewish children and the chavivus Eretz. These are the two nisyonos, the beginning of the beginning to the end of the existence of Avraham Avinu. Which one of these two would you say is chaviva yisera? It's the children, Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak is explicit. Es bincha, es yechidcha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak. Chaviva yisera shenoidas lohem. Eretz Yisrael is chaviv. Rashi explicitly says it's chaviv. Because it says, lechem chamei artzacha, leave this mat, umi voladcha, umi beisavicha, elo aretz asher areka. The verbosity is chavivos. But between the two, which one would you say fits into the Mishnah is chaviva yisera shenoidas lohem? It's the barocha of children. The barocha of children even more so than the barocha, the chavivus of Eretz Yisrael. And why am I saying this? Because this fits perfectly like a glove into the major theme of this parasha. And that is when Hashem, when Avram says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma titen li, v'anochi chole chariri, uven meshek besi hu damesek eli, uven meshek... That's possible before, yeah. but who's going to yarish me? Eliezer, I have nothing. Ribbono Shel Olam, I have nothing in this world. What are you giving to me in this world? So Hashem says to him, Avram, don't worry. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the stars, and Hashem says, Ko yihye zaracha. And what did Avram say? Vehemin b'Hashem. No questions. Emuna, the theme of this parasha, the legacy of Avraham Avinu, vehemin b'Hashem, vayachshevecha loy tzedakah. And then what's next? Then Hashem says, Yedoyatid, then what about the land? Vayomer elav, ani Hashem, asher otzisich mi'eretzrayim, mi'orkazim lo asetcha, so aretz hazos l'rishta. And here, what does Avram say? He doesn't say, vehemin b'Hashem, vayomar, Hashem elokim, bamo edo, ki yiroshena, prove it. I want proof. Well, you said that. I want something. Emuna is not enough when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough. I want proof. I want to know something. So I said, okay, so let's do a bris ben hamasarim, take achal kachla, egla mishuleshes, the eiz mishuleshes, v'al mishulosh, v'chulu, v'chulu. What's the difference? Why was it that when it came to children, Avraham was willing to say, v'hemin b'Hashem? We're willing to have him, Hashem. Whereas when it came to Eretz Yisrael, Bamo Eda Ki Yiroshena. The answer is the first Rashi in the parasha. The Bonim had a Chaviva Yisera. The Bonim, we learn from the Nisoyin in parashas, next week's parasha, Chachnos, Binchos, Yechidchos, Rahavtos, Yitzchok, Chaviva Yisera. Eretz Yisrael was Chaviv. It was but it wasn't Chaviva Yisera because it didn't say specifically which land. All it said was El Ores Ashareka. What is Chavivas? The Chavivas is the Amuna. That's the real Chavivas. We see in Avraham Avinu the reason why Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu differently. I'm saying everything is in hindsight. Hashem, this event, firstly, you have to know exactly when the Bris Ben Absalom took place. It could very well be the Bris Ben Absalom took place. Different interpretation of when it took place. It took place even before the beginning of Lech Lecha. There's some hold that as well. It took place before, but that, let's not focus on Mukdam or Mu'ucha B'Torah. Let's just look at the big picture. In the big picture of things, Hashem spoke to Avram in the language of Avram. Avram would ultimately express himself in regard to two different gifts, the gift of children and the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, this would happen. This is not something new, that this is something which would come out. When Avram expressed himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam with regard to children, he said, Vehemin b'Hashem. When Avram expressed himself in regard to the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Avram said, Bamo'eda. On his madrid, Bamo'eda. Hashem, who was Yoril Lesev Daito Shel Avram Avinu, saw the fact that you have more emuna in me, in your children, with regard to your children, than you have in regard to me in the Eretz Yisrael, it shows you have a chaviva yisera. And chaviva yisera doesn't mean you just love them more. It's the connection to the chavivus is defined in your connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the dedication that your children, that you want to have a child to devote to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more you want to come onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nimeila, the more emuna you're going to have. You also want to have a land. You have to have a homeland. You can't be a nation without a homeland. You need an Eretz Yisrael in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're going to express the chavivus, the necessity of having a land to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chavivas. But you, the day will come when you're going to say to me about Eretz Yisrael, Bamoeda, the Chavivas that you're going to have for a place to serve Hashem in a location is not going to be the same Chavivas you're going to have with regard to having a nation, children to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimela, it's Mida Keneged Mida. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram regarding Eretz Yisrael, it's Chavivas, but not Chavivas Yisera. Glech lecha me'artzecha, umimoylatecha, umibeisavicha, el ha'oretz asherek. I'm not telling you where, I'm not going to be specific. But when it comes to your children, then the sign of your children, when I talk about your children, then I speak your language. You said to me, vehemin b'Hashem, memela, that's a chaviva yisera. So when I speak to you, it's going to be kachmas bincha, es yichidcha, asher hafta, es yitzcha. Specificity. The person who it is. This is an idea I think we'll bring out in this first Rashi in the parasha. Okay, I want to tell you, I just want to review with you another idea. I don't have all that much new material, so I want to review with you an idea which I find to be a major yisoid. I definitely told, we've said this over the last year or the year before, but I believe it's kedai to review very quickly because it's a major yisoid in this week's parasha. Avraham Avinu, he travels into Eretz Yisrael, and what does he do? He does two things. He pitches his tent. Vayavor Avram ba'aretz. Ad b'kaim Shechem. Ad ilan Moreb. Ha'kanani was ba'aretz. Vayir ilu v'ashem b'al mayom. El azaruch etin saritz azos. Vayiven sham mizbeach. He builds a mizbeach. V'ashem hanirei lo. Vayatek misham horo. Mikin l'meisel v'yidah holo. And then it says he pitches his tent. Beis el miyom. V'ha'ay mikedem. Vayiven sham builds another mizbeach. Vayikah b'shem Hashem. Fine. Two things. In the beginning of the parasha, starting Pasuk Vav, to the end of the parasha, Pasuk Tes, we find that Avraham Avinu, he builds at least two mizbechos, and he pitches Oholo, his tent, Oholoksiv, her tent, whatever. He sets up shop. Okay, very good. Now there's a famine. There's nothing to eat. So what does he do? He goes down to Egypt. He goes down to Mitzrayim. Was it a good idea to go to Mitzrayim? Was it a bad idea? The Ramban shockingly says, Choto Gidoilo. It was a very grave sin on Avraham's part to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim because of the famine, or whatever it is. Not everyone agrees with that interpretation, but Avraham goes, Vayi Rob Oretz, Vayered Avraham Mitzrayim Lagur Sham Ki Chavein Harab Oretz. Okay, and we know the whole story. Sar was abducted, and then Avram was mispalel, and then he was received reward. He got gifts, kesef and zav, and the Medrash says he got Hagar. He got Hagar as a shifcha. That's how he got introduced to Hagar. She was a high end slave in the home of Paro, and Paro gave Hagar as a gift to Sarai, the server. According to the Medrash, Goshen was a gift at this point in time. Goshen was a gift given to Klal Yisrael at this time. Okay, fine. And then he goes back, the famine is over, and it says, Vayal Avram Mitzrayim, Hu v'ishtoy, v'chol ha'shalo, v'lo yimah negba. And then it says, Vayelech l'masa minegdav al beisel, at, where did he go? He went back from where he came from. And look how the pasuk describes his return. Ad ha'mokoyim, asho hoya sham oholo batechila. When it comes to his tent, he went back to the place where the tent was, techila. Bein Beisel Bein Oy, between Beisel and Oy. What about the Mizbeach? El Mekoyim HaMizbeach Asha Oso Sham Borishoyna, that he built the first time. Vayikra Sham Avram B'Shem Hashem. And once again he called out B'Shem Hashem. So the question here is, we have two words that seemingly mean exactly the same thing. Techila and Rishoyna. Avraham, he pitched a tent and he built a Mizbeach. He then left because of the famine. He went to Egypt. He suffered in Egypt very, very much. After the event, the episode was over, he returned where he came from. when it says he came back both to his tent and he came back to his mizbeach. He came back to his physical dwelling, to his material dwelling, and he came back to his spiritual mizbeach. With regard to the mizbeach, he says rishoina, the mizbeach that he built rishoina. With regard to the tent, it says techila. Question is, why did the pasuk select these specific words to describe the tent and the mizbeach? Is there something deeper? Is there some musar that lies in the selection of these words? So there is a Malbim, and the Malbim says, what indeed is the difference between the word Rishayna and Techila? And the Malbim says that the word Rishayna always connotes there is a second. Rishayna is part of a set. There's Rishayn, there is Sheni, there is Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi. It's the first of a series. There are many, many parts to the series. The word Techila is a word that has a connotation, the beginning. You don't think about what comes next. It's betchila. Tchila means the incipient stage, the very, very earliest stage. There's nothing that the root of all beginnings. It does not connote, does not cause a person to think about the next two, three, four. Tchila means just focus on the beginning. So now, what is the musar? The musar here is, Avram Avinu, he went, he pitched his tent in Eretz Yisrael. He built a mizbeach. Two beginnings, two wonderful beginnings. It was a wonderful hotel. Yeah, he had a very good good accommodations. The gashmis was fantastic, and then there was ruchnias. There was a spiritual experience going to Eretz Yisrael. Ah, the spiritual experience. Then he had to leave. He left. When he came back, what exactly did he come back to? As far as the Gashmias was concerned, in Mitzrayim he suffered very much. The Gashmias in Mitzrayim was not very pleasant. Who knows what they did to him? But it was water off a duck. It didn't make a difference. When he returns back to his Oholo, it was Asher Batechila. It's like nothing ever happened. Gashmius in the eyes of Avram Avinu was nothing. It was only there to serve Hashem. If you have it, you have it. You don't have it, you don't have it. It's not an issue. He had Gashmius when he was in Eretz Yisrael. He did not have it when he was in Mitzrayim. So when he came back, it was like going back to the very beginning. There was no loss. But when it comes to Ruchnius, every experience in life is an opportunity to grow in Ruchnius. The experience that he had in Mitzrayim was his second spiritual experience. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, it was beautiful. He built a mizbeach, he davened, he had a spiritual experience. When he went to Mitzrayim, he had a difficult experience. But that difficult experience was a spiritual experience. And that spiritual experience he grew from. So now when he went back to Eretz Yisrael, he did not want to lose. He did not want to forget that experience, because that experience, although it was difficult, it was painful, it was something from which he grew spiritually. Therefore, when it comes back to the Mizbeach in Beisel, Beinu Ayi Bein Beisel, there he calls Asher Karishoina, because Rishoina has a connotation, there was a Rishoina, and there was a Shnia. And what was the Shnia? This experience was an experience of difficulty in Mitzrayim, but it's not to be forgotten. It was an opportunity to further grow and develop. So that's the Musar Haskel. The Musar Haskel is, when it comes to Gashmias, no, some days you have it, some days you don't. It's water off a duck, it's no big deal. But when it comes to Ruchnias, every situation you're in is an opportunity. An opportunity to grow, whether it's a difficult opportunity or it's an easy opportunity, and therefore every single opportunity is counted as part of a process.
And he went to Mitzrayim.
What?
Did he take Lot along?
Yes, it says he took Lot along. When he went to Mitzrayim, it says explicitly in the past that Lot went with him, and Lot was rewarded for not revealing who Avram was. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about the mitzvah of chalitza. There's a very interesting halacha. I never seen this, but supposedly what I've read is that the bracha, what is the bracha one makes on chalitza? It's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'chukav Shel Avraham Avinu. Very unique bracha. When a person does chalitza, Rachman Letzlan, he does chalitza, he makes the bracha, the mitzvosav the chukov of Avraham Avinu. My high, wherever do you have a bracha where you introduce into the nusach bracha the chukim, the laws of Avraham Avinu? So the answer I saw this is a very interesting answer. Why is it the minhag by Ashkenazim not to do yibum? Yibum is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Why can a person do yibum? Why is it the minhag that we don't do yibum, we do chalitza? So the reason why Ashkenazim don't do it the way it's said is because me'ikar hadin, a sister-in-law is an erva. In the event that they both have children, that he has children, for a man to marry his sister-in-law, he is chayiv kares. It's an erva. Now the Torah said, since there are no children, we're going to make an exception. But there's a condition. You have to marry her 100% l'shem shamayim. There should not be any personal satisfaction, personal pleasure gain in doing the mitzvah. And if there is, if a person marries her, and he's doing it because he likes her, he has pleasure from her, then, to some degree, he's really living with an erva, where he should really be chayiv kares. So technically he's not, because the Torah says it's mutter. But since conceptually this woman is an erva, and it has to be done l'shem shamayim, and it's impossible today for a human being to be on that madrego where he can marry a woman l'shem shamayim, there's always going to be some personal satisfaction and gain he has from marrying this person. So therefore, Ashkenazim have the minhag, its best thing is not to do yibum, not to be pegea in an erva. The best thing is to do chalitza, this the chalitza, and separate. Where does the concept of chalitza, the earliest source of chalitza, come from? It comes from this week's parasha. When Avram, when he met with Melech Sodom, after Avram, he saved Lot from the four kings. The four kings captured the five kings, and then the four kings captured Lot. And Vayetze Melech Sodom, he came out to greet him, and Melech Sodom said to Avram, let me pay you off, return to me all of the neshamas, and let me pay you for your service. I want to pay you. Avram responded, Im michut v'ad seroch na'av. Im ekach mikol ha-shalach. I will not take from you a strap, a chut is a cord, and not a shoe strap. The Medrash says, in reward for Avram Avinu saying misroch na'av, he was rewarded that his children would have the mitzvah of chalitzas hanoal, when the brother-in-law, does not want to do yibum, so the sister-in-law, she takes, she loosens the straps, the shoe straps of her brother-in-law, and that releases him from the obligation to marry her. So the earliest source in the Torah that there's something called chalitza comes from Avram's statement of siroch nal, a shoe strap. What in essence was Avraham Avinu saying to Melech Sodom by saying the word Siroch Na'av? He was saying, I don't want to have any pleasure from you whatsoever. I don't want to be nene from you, a teeny mashu. So people should not say that you are the one who has made me wealthy. Shloi Toimar, Ani Hasharti, what was it supposed to say? Ani Hasavram. No one should say that it was you who went and made me wealthy. I want it to be known to the world, my avod is that Hashem is the one who has made me wealthy, not a human being, not the Melech Sodom. Avram was expressing, it has to be 100% L'Shem Shema. I don't want to take anything from you. Likewise, when a man does chalitza, why is he doing chalitza? Why doesn't he want to marry this woman? Because he realizes this woman is an erva. Me'ikar hadin, the woman is a chais ishtoi. It's a eshes achiv. It's his brother's wife. She's an erva. The only way I'm permitted to marry you, is when I'm not taking anything from you. I'm not deriving from you pleasure. And there's no personal gain. It's purely l'shem shamayim. I'm not going to take from you pleasure, not going to take from you anything. If I cannot do that, if I recognize that I am not on a madrega to do such a thing, I am going in the ways of Avraham Avinu, who made that exact statement to Melech Sodom. I don't want to take anything from you. By taking something from you, that creates the wrong impression that I'm a benefactor. I benefit from you. I don't want that. So therefore, it's very appropriate that this concept is injected directly into the bracha, because that in essence is why chalitza is done, not yibam. Yibam really should be done. Yibam should be done. So why don't you do a mitzvah? It's embarrassing for the person not to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibam. According to many mepharshim, yibam is better than doing chalitza. The only answer is I can't do l'shem shemayim because I'm going to be taking. I'm not allowed to be a taker. If I'm a taker, it's a violation of arayos, of incest. Menela. We make it clear in the bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'chukav shel Avraham Avinu. Avram said, I don't want to take. So to the man says to the Yevama, I don't want to take pleasure from you. Therefore, I have no choice but to do chalitza, and being that the shoestrap is rooted in Avram, b'meila, that's why this nusach is included in the bracha. Okay, yeah.
Is there a difference between if somebody marries
No, it's only erva in the case of yibam. What do you mean? Two sisters, and not in the same. Not in the, when one of them dies, that's mutter. If a man marries his sister-in-law after his wife dies, it's mutter lechatchila. That's not erva. It's only a case where it's his brother's wife. It's a wholly different thing. It's a whole different halacha. Only in the situation where it's his brother's wife is there a shayla of erva. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here, so I want to point out an observation. What is the chilik between Klal Yisrael and the Yishma'elim? A big difference, right? But I want to just point, make one small ha'ara. Hagar, she is expelled from her home by Sarai. And Sarai says, out of the house, how dare you look down upon me. She goes out into the field, She ran away. Okay, she ran away. The Malach finds her in the desert, and what are you doing here? She ran away. You can have a child. The Karas Shmo Yishmael Kishma Shem Kolanyech Vuhuye Pera Adam Yede Vakol Vyad Kolbo Vyal Pnei Cholech of Yishchai. Then what happens at this point in time? She sees a well, Hagar Vatikra, and she says, she calls the shame Vatikra Shem Hashem Hadoyver Elecha. She calls the Malach that she sees that had a conversation with her. Ata kel ro'i. Ata, you are the God of my vision. In other words, she said, let me read the ki amrash, the pasuk goes on to explain, hagam haloim ro'isi achare ro'i. Can it really be that even here in the desert, in the middle of nowhere, I see a malach? After I've been accustomed to seeing malachim in my master's home. Now let me read the Rashi. It's very critical to understand this pasuk very clearly. Rashi over here says in pasuk yud gimel, in perek tezayin, pasuk yud gimel, hagam haloim loshon tema. She's asking a question, a rhetorical question. Would I ever in my right mind imagine sha'af haloim even over there b'midbarais? Even over there, out there in the desert, in a place of nowhere, where Isi, I would see Sheluchav Shalmakoim, the agents of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Acharei Roi Oisam Bebeisoi Shel Avram, Shesham Hayisi Regilu Liros Malachim, in the home of Avram, that was like a Beis HaMikdash. There, it's normal to see Malachim. But when I was expelled from the home of Avram, I was thrown out in the desert, a place of total nothingness. Is God here also? God doesn't hang out over here. God only hangs out in the Beis HaMikdash, in the home of Avram, not in the desert. The Teda Shehoisa Regila Liro Shisosha Shari Manoyach. Then it goes on to this idea. So therefore, then she goes further to say, after she names the name of the Malach by the name Hashem Kelro, he was a shock to me. She then goes on to say, Al came therefore, Pasuk Yudalid, Korah La Be'er, there was a well, right in this location where she saw the Malach, she called the well after this event, Be'er, it is the well, Lachai, of the living God, Ro'i, which I have seen. And as the Pasuk before said, it was a shock to me. I never ever would have expected to see a Malach in a location that is away from the center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is the essence of Yishmael. Hagar is the mother of Yishmael. The mother of Yishmael. And look what you just said. This is something I don't expect. I'm not accustomed to this. God is in the mosque. God is not out in the desert, in the field. Contrast this with Klal Yisrael. Parshas Chukas. The Be'er Miriam. The Shira in Parshas Chukas. Okay, in Parashat Chukas, Oz Yoshir Yisrael, Es Hashira Hazos, Ali Ve'er, rise up well, Enula, and sing to it. And what are the words of the Shira of Klal Yisrael over the Be'er? No, where is this Be'er? This is the Be'er that's traveling with them in the Midbar for 40 years. The same Be'er. And what do they say about this Be'er? Be'er, this is a well, Chafarua Sorim. Had has been dug, hewn by princes. Who are the princes? The Talmidei Chachamim. The Shluchim Shel Mokoim. The agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karua Nidivei Ha'am. Bim Choykeg Bimisha Nosam. Umimidbar Matana. The essence of Klal Yisrael Shir is, this is the Be'er. A Be'er in the Midbar. A Be'er that has been established by the Shluchim Shel Mokoim. Look at the contrast. Hagar, the mother of the Yishmaelim, this is something which is not my religion. That God can be found, a messenger of God, a malach, a human being, the Nedivei Ha'am, the Sarim, and the Nedivei Ha'am, and the Mechaykek, are even greater malachim than the Malach Hashem. Malach Hashem is only spiritual. A human being is even on a higher madrega. A human being. These are the Shluchim Shel Mokoim, the Talmidei Chacham, the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Look at the contrast between the mother of Yishmael and Klal Yisrael. The mother of Yishmael, when they're in a midbar, they're in a place that's far away from their center, God is not here. If they'll see God here, it's a shock. Hagam haloim reisi elokim achrei roi, even here, not to be understood. But the essence of Klal Yisrael is, you see the shluchim shel mokoim wherever you are, even in the most distant corners of the world. The essence, there's a be'er. We're going to name this be'er after the recognizing that here in the desert, there are sorim. There are mechaykekim. There are nedivei ha'am. Hashem sends you shluchim even in the most darkest corners of the world. This is just a contrast to one to point out. Okay, let's now go to another short idea. I saw this. I thought this is an amazing idea. There are four people in Chumash, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, who had a name change. Who are the four people? Two in this week's parasha.
Yeshua,
Avraham, and Sarah. Lo tikra, lo yikore, Avram ela Avraham. Sarah, that no longer Sarai, Sarah. Hoshea was changed to Yehoshua. And Yaakov, we got a different name. That name wasn't taken away. He'll be called, there's an additional name to the, his name is Yaakov, Yishimcha Yaakov. And he'll also be called Yisrael. It wasn't a permanent change. Who was the father? Yisrael. Yeser Choisno, he's called Yeser, and he was changed to Yisro. It was Moisif a Yud, one letter Yisro, Vav. Yisro from Yeser to Yisro in Chazal said, because of the Chaviva Satorah, Hashem was Moisif and Ois Lishmo, the letter Vav. What? Okay, but in the Torah, but written explicitly in the parasha. Parasha Yisro Vayavo, Yisro in the Torah is called Yeser. In when Moshe first meets him, and then he's called Yisro in Parshas Yisro. So it's explicit in the Torah. There are only four people explicitly mentioned in the Torah, in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, who got a name change. Avraham, Sarah, Yoshua got the extra Hoshea to Yoshua, and Yeser went to Yisro. I know there are midrashim will tell me all different names, but at least explicitly in the parasha, and Yaakov is not a raya because Yaakov never lost his name. He just got another name. Nothing was changed in the name itself. So I saw in a sefer very fascinating. It's called Nitzot Se'atara. He makes the following observation that this not I think the Kleisenberg, Sans Kleisenberg Rebbe. From the previous Rebbeim, and he says that these four letters happen to spell Yud Kei Vav Kei, Haloi Davar.
Wow.
Spell Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the two heads of Avraham and Sarah, the Yud of Hoshea of Yoshua, right, and the Vav of Yisro. So now let's go a step further. What is the significance that in the Torah, a person has been transformed? These four people are the Merkava to transform, to be Moisif, the Shem Hashem in this world. It's very simple. Al shloisha devarim ha'olam oimed. Al ha'Torah v'al ha'avoida v'al gemilas chasadim. Torah is Yisro. Chazal, we learned it today. We learned it today in Yirmiyah. Yonadav ben Rechav. The tradition from Yom, the chavivus ha'Torah. The chavivus of Torah. That's why his name went from Yeser to Yisroi. Avoida. Who is Avoida? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change Yoshua from Hoshea to Yehoshua? It was part of a tefillah. Ko Yoshiacha me'atzas meraglim. The essence of the change of name was the part of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah that you should not be affected by the atzas meraglim. What is the hallmark, the legacy of Avraham and Sarah? Eshel. Achila shesia leviya gemilas chasadim. So haloi davar, we have here in the Torah, two in this week's parasha, the four people who were changing their name came about, which in totality spells the ribbono shel olam yud kei vav kei, a ribui in the existence of a recognition of the ribbono shel olam in this world. And what is this ribui of Hashem's existence? All built on the foundation of what this world was created for. Torah, Avoida, and Gemilas Chasadim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I once told you this, but I think I found this in the parasha. This idea, I think I heard this idea from Rabbi Berl Wine. I didn't see in the pasuk, but I told this to him. Rabbi Berl Wine says, "Well, how do you define success? Define success when the person comes to Meyer the Esrim, 120 years old. How do you define if this person is successful in life? The answer is if the person can say that his parents and his children are proud of him. A person can look back and say, you know, I've given nachas ruach to my parents. They have and my children have nachas ruach from me. If you can look up and you can look down and everything is good, that is definition of success. So the truth is, this is mamash found in the sixth parasha. When Hashem says to Avram, the Atah, when Hashem tells Avram that after the Bris Ben Absalom you're going to die, so that doesn't seem very very positive thing to tell Avram good news that you're going to die now. But Hashem says, let's see, let me go find the Bris Ben Absalom. V'yomel Avram Yudah Teidak Yevgad V'Atah Tovoy El Avosecha Bishalom Tikover B'Seiva Toiva. So this is not good news. You think over here the Bris Ben Absalom Hashem is revealed to Avram Avinu good news, but Rashi puts a very beautiful spin. It's very good news. Why is it very good news? Pasik Tezvav. What's the good news? V'atah tovah v'lo tirah kolela el avosecha aviv oyved koychavim terach. That was last week's parsha. Right, the only time you say kaddish for a guy. V'atomas terach b'charon. Skadal v'yiskadash. You say right after the landing, you say Kaddish v'terach. He was an avodah zarah. So Avra, what does it say over here? Aviv oivid akachavam. So what does it mean over here that v'atot tovi ala v'secha v'hu mevasro sheyova elof l'lamdecha she'oso terach teshuva. This pasuk says that Yavos the Bris Ben Absalom is not in sequence. That's an old story. It's not mukta m'mu'ucha b'toira. According to many, it happened way, way before when he was much younger, and all the other events happened later on. But Hashem was telling Avram, your father, who threw you out of the house, who used to have a store, they sold idols, don't worry about your father. The day is going to come when he's going to do tshuva. That's good news. Mimele is going to do tshuva. He's going to do a tzaddik. Going to do a tzaddik, he's going to have nachas from you. right now your relationship may be a bit strained, but don't worry, the good days are coming. Your father will have nachas from you. And then he goes on, Tikover b'seva tova. What about your children? B'soro sheyase Yishmael teshuva. That Yishmael, even though he went off the derech, made a lot of trouble, the day will come when he'll do tshuva also. In your lifetime, he'll do tshuva. B'yomav. V'lo yetze Esav, and then Esav, you're not going to see the grandchild, you're not going to see the time of Yisrael. But over here, basically, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, I'm giving you a very big bracha that you're going to have a good life, because you'll be able to look back up to your father, and you'll be able to look to your children, and you're all going to be on the same page. You're all going to have nachas, one from another. L'kayim ma'a shenemar, Rabbi Beryl Wine. So it's like, zun stark. That's a success. This is success if you can say about the previous generation and the next generation, you're all on the same page. That is true success. And that is exactly what Shmuel was telling Avraham Avinu, I'm giving you the ultimate bracha of life. It's a bracha of life. It's not a bracha of death. So let's go to another idea. Lot. I saw this idea, the Rosh HaPrachim of this idea. I'm going to transform it a little bit, but the basic idea I saw somewhere. Avram comes to a point where he says to Lot, you know, we just can't, we can't get along. We got to split. Vayoymer Avram Lot, al nosihim riva beni veinecha ben roya ben roya, ki anosh ma'achim anachnu. Halach oros dil lefonech, he pardoned me Eloi. And Avram is to be very interesting. Im ha'smol ve'imina, v'im ha'yomin v'asmi'ila. You see, this is Tuesday, this is the third aliyah, this is Mamish Rami is on the election. You want to be a Democrat? You want to go to the left? Go to the left. You want to be a Republican? You want to go to the right? You go to the right. But whatever you want to do, it's fine. But we can't be in the same party. We cannot be on the same party. It's Rami's. We cannot be on the same side of the aisle. We'll be on different sides of the aisle. So what does Lot say? So Lot has to make a decision. He's either going to go to the right or go to the left. What is right? What is left? That's a very big myth. What did Avram mean by saying right and left? And it says es kol kikar hayar. Why did it have to say kol? Why couldn't it say es kikar hayar? What's the kol? And then it goes on to say, it goes on to describe it in two different ways. It's mitzad echad ki gan Hashem, it's Gan Eden, and then it says ki eretz Mitzrayim, it's like Egypt. Gan Eden is spirituality, no question about it. Eretz Mitzrayim is defined as the erva saaretz, the worst elements of humankind found themselves in Mitzrayim. It was Las Vegas on steroids. That's what Mitzrayim was. That's what Chazal say. So you have, what's going on here? Kigan Hashem. Mitzad echad it's Kigan Hashem. Mitzad sheni it's Mitzrayim. And what did Lot say? Vayivchar lo Lot eis kol kikar hayarden. I want it all. In other words, what was his response to Avram? Avram, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the right, you go to the left. Okay. Lot basically says, I want both. I don't want right or left. I want it all. Now, what do you mean he wants it all? What exactly is the issue over here? The issue over here is Pinchas, Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. Eliyahu Bahar Carmel says, In la Hashem, l'chu acharav. If you want to serve Hashem, serve Hashem. V'im labal, l'chu acharav. It's legitimate. You want to go worship Avodah Zarah, you know, it's Avodah Zarah l'tei Avon, you have Tivus, you have Yetzahara. Okay. But Admosai Atem Paischem al Shnei Ha'si'ifim. There's nothing worse than being a faker, than being a phony. There's nothing worse. You come to shul, everything is fine and good. You wear a black hat, dark suit, you look rabbinic, and when you go home, you have a secret life. That's the worst. You can't have both. If a person can't be what he's supposed to be, okay, but don't be a faker. Don't present yourself as demanding all of the barachas from the Ribbono Shel Olam when you know that's not who you are. You want to be, you want to daven ne'ilah for the tzibur when you know you're not a person that should be davening ne'ilah for the tzibur. You're not the type of person. You can't have both. So Avram says, Lot, listen, the problem with Lot was, he was a double-faced person. He was Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Lot says, I want it all. I want Gan Eden, Kigan Hashem. Sodom is Kigan Hashem. There's Gan Eden here in stone. This spirituality that's off the charts. But it's also Ki Eretz Mitzrayim. There's also a Yetzirah here in this Taiva. There are outlets here. There are places here in Mitzrayim to do the worst of the worst. So I want both. I want to sit in Koil by day, have all the kavod and the honor, the prestige, the kinyan for the next world. But I also, you know, I also have some fun. I want to have some fun. I also want there to be Eretz Mitzrayim. I want Vayar Es Kol Kikar Hayarne. I want it all. You are, Rabbi, telling me to make a choice. To make a choice in life. And it's legitimate. If you can't be Kigan Hashem, it's better to go to Eretz Mitzrayim and be, that's your life. That's your life. At least you're not a faker. There's something at least to it. L'teyom, the Gemara person wants to do an Avera, so go to a faraway place, get dressed in black clothing and do what you want to go do, and don't influence anyone. Sometimes a person has an assignment he can't deal with. So Zehu, that's what it is. But to have both, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Avram says, so left, I'm darshing to mean left means go off to the deep end, go to Mitzrayim. Right means go to Gan Eden. But you can't, I can't exist. Avram says this. Avram is saying this. I cannot coexist with you. And Lot says, Avram, I don't care. I want it all. That's my life. This is my life. I want it all. I'm going to have it all. And that's why he says it's called Kika Hayarden, and explains why it's Gan Hashem Ker, it's Mitzrayim. Vayivchol Lot is called Kika Hayarden, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. And by doing so, this is a departure from the Derech of Hashem. You can't be a hypocrite. Yeah.
Does that mean Avram would have gone to Mitzrayim?
What?
Does that mean Avram would have gone to Mitzrayim?
No, so that's the problem with my Drush. If you're going to go to the right, I'm going to the left. The Esmila.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously you can't translate it like that, but you understand, it's a drush. You have to, I told you, you have, some of these things need more refinement. There's dvarim begav. There's definitely something over here. Okay, let's do something a little short. Why is it, in this week's parash, we learned that Avram Avinu, he was taken to Mitzrayim, went to Mitzrayim, and Sarai was abducted. She was snatched. And then, fine, what happens? All of a sudden, Avimelech, can't go to the bathroom. He can't go to the Beis Akisei. Oh, everyone is suffering. What's going on over here? And then he realizes that he took the wife. So she's not really his sister. It's really his wife. And he goes to Avram. What did you do to me? Take your wife, and they'll give you gifts and get out of here. Next week's parsha, we have almost the same story with Avimelech. Avram comes to Eretz Pelishtim, not to Egypt, to the Pelishtim, and there's a famine. Same story. Avram says to Sarai, say that you're my sister, and she's abducted. And then Avimelech says to Avram, what did you do to me? But here we find the difference. We find the difference that Avimelech, Avram responds. And he says, Ki rak in yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. So the obvious question is, why is it, and they have two stories, they're almost identical, why is it that Avram responded, engaged in dialogue with the Melech Pelishtim by telling him, when a person comes to the city, the first thing you ask, is this your sister, is your wife? There are more basic things than this. You should ask, do you have what to eat, what to drink, where to sleep? I had no choice. You forced my hand to lie and say that she's my sister, not my wife. But we don't find Avram engaging Paro in any discussion. It's just, give me my wife, give me the gifts, I'm out of here. I don't want to know from you. What's the difference? I saw in the Musa Sefer, okay, he doesn't explain what I'm explaining now, but he basically says, what? Right, Paro says to Avram. But why didn't Avram engage Paro in discussion?
Paro wanted her as his wife.
So did Avimelech. Whatever it was similar. The situation was similar. Why was Avram engaging Avimelech and not engaging Paro? So I saw in a Sefer, now he doesn't explain all the details, it basically is, there are the only time you mechuyev. You, this is a very big debate today in dealing with people and responding. It's always a very big issue. There are many apikarsim out there all over the place. Wherever you turn, there are always problems. When is it appropriate to engage, and when is it appropriate to cut your losses? Just quiet. Don't respond.
Yeah,
Not necessarily. Sometimes you know the person will not be makabel. He'll not be makabel. But there it's a question which there's no answer. I'm not giving an answer. There is no answer. It's a very tough. You have to be qualified to answer. There has to be a purpose. But it's always a very big struggle when you have a situation where you're being challenged in any area of life, when it's appropriate to respond, and when it's appropriate to just ignore. Look in politics. Forget about Yados. You just went through a whole period, a few months of politics, accusations and things flying back and forth. So you see this chokhmah. Sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't respond. It works, it doesn't work. It's too late, too little, too late. It's an impossible thing to deal with. But certainly in a religious world, it's even more impossible to know exactly how to deal. So there is an interesting diyuk. The basic diyuk over here is, like basically what you said, is the person a mensch? Is the person a person that's receptive to being respond? There's an interesting difference in the way the abduction is described in Parashas Lech Lecha versus Parashas Vayera. When Avram comes to Parashas, in Parashas Lech Lecha to Paro, where he does not respond, Vahi kiroy Avram mitzrayimo, Vayiru hamitzrayim eso isha, ki yofohim me'osh. She's a beautiful woman. Vayiru osa, they saw, sorry, Paro, Vayahalu osa el Paro, and here's the key word. Vatukach. Does not say vayikach. It says vatukach. She was taken. That has a connotation that she was just snatched like an animal. Vatukach ho'isha beis paro. Contrast the word vatukach to what it says in Parashas Vayera when Avram goes down to Eretz Pelishtim. Vayomer Avram el Sora ishtoy achoisihi. And there it says, Vayishlach Avi Melech. He sent for her. Melech Gurar. Vayikach es Sora. He took her personally. Vayikach Hazal even says sometimes means in kicha ella bidvarim. It was, he at least behaved like a mensch in taking, listen, you told me that she's your sister. Isn't that what you told me? You told me that she's not your wife. She says, I maybe should have known better. That was the whole debate. But you took, so Avimelech, he came, he met her, he spoke with her, and as a mensch, he went, Vayikach Esara. He dealt with her with dignity, like a human being. He did not treat her like an animal, Vatukach, just lock her up in a car and send her over and bring her into my room. Therefore, this is the difference. When a person shows that he's, to some degree, that he's receptive to humanity, he's receptive to discussion, he acts like a mensch, that's what we call a Talmud Hogun. He's mistaken. Therefore, Avram can give him Musar and can say, Kirak in Yiras Elokim b'Mokoyim Hazeh. But when you're dealing with an animal that doesn't have the human dignity to deal with other people in a normal, civilized way, Vatukach isha beis paro, she was snatched. There was no, again, I'm not good with grammar. I don't know the grammar, but the word vatukach, I don't have the exact words to describe the different forms of the word, but the word vatukach, relative, just be contrast the word vatukach relative to the word vayikach. And you could also add vayishlach avimelech, he sent for her, vayikach, and he took her. Avimelech was civilized. If you're civilized, that means your mind is open, it's receptive to have a discussion, to have a debate, there's something to learn. But when the person behaves in a manner that is not civilized, then the lesson that we learn from this week's parasha is, say nothing. You're lots of people out there in the world that make trouble. And for those people, it's just not kedai to engage them in any conversation and any dialogue, because you're going to get nowhere with them and you're going to come out shooting yourself in the foot. And that's the lesson we learned from Avram in this week's parasha. There's no discussion. You're not even a human being. You just snatch my wife like an animal off the streets. I'm not even going to talk to you. Avimelech, the next week's parasha, has some civility. Therefore, he deals with her in an entirely different way.
Also, Avimelech cares about his people. Power doesn't mention his people at all.
Okay, all right. Okay, there are other areas. It's all totally bezebezet. All right, there are a couple of things. We're out of time. So let me just conclude by telling you that this week we have the beginning of the parasha. There are seven brachas. Some want to say the reason why we have seven brachas by a wedding, it comes from this week's parasha. We should be zochah to these seven brachas. The Eser L'Goy Gadol is one bracha. V'Avarechecha is the second bracha. Vagadlo shemecha, v'lgoy gadol, v'avorechecha, v'gadlo shemecha, v'yei baruch is 4, v'avorecha, mivorechecha is 5, u'mikalelcha or is 6, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpecha su'adama is 7. So it's a very beautiful opening to this parasha. We begin with 7 brachos. 7 shev brachos. We will all be zoichet to be mekabel the sheva brachos of parashas Lech Lecha. Have a wonderful Shabbos.